Gracious God, on this new day of a new year, grant us new hearing, that we may hear your word anew. And with a new spirit, may our faith be strengthened and our ties to you more deep because of the word you share with us this day. Amen. Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Here ends the reading.
Thank you, George. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm indebted to Fred Buechner and Herb O'Driscoll for the concept of the sermon today. No doubt the temple was busy back in the day when the time came for parents to do what was customary under the law for their newborn children in the temple in Jerusalem. And I wonder if there was someone around who might have seen this encounter between Simeon and Anna and the baby and his parents. And I wonder if he or she might be able to share what that might have been like for him or her. What if a friend of Simeon, perhaps a caregiver for he and his wife, had helped them to the temple that day and saw all that had transpired? What would it look like from his or her perspective? Or what if some random temple goer saw this incident? What might it mean to them, if anything? I suppose it could mean something very special. And I suppose it might look something like this. My name is Tobias, and I'd wager most of you don't know me. Some make the mistake of thinking that I am related to Tobit's son, whose story is recorded in part in the Apocrypha, And as much as I wish that were so, alas, I can make no claim to that connection or to any fame, for that matter, in any fashion. I am a simple man who works for an honest wage as a local farmer and who tries to keep a simple faith with one eye on heaven and the other on earth and a heart engaged in both. Some have said, I see things that others don't. And while that may be so from time to time, the reality is there are others who see things much more clearly and much more deeply than I do. This is a story about one of those people. And though I'd never met the man until that day, I'd seen him at temple many times. I heard people call him Simeon. He and his wife, Hannah, were, well, regulars at the temple. All the rabbis knew Simeon and Hannah as such as well. And they liked them very much, which, if truth be told, was not true of everyone the rabbis knew as regulars in the temple. I think part of what they liked about Simeon especially was that they loved the way he would recite the Aliyah, the blessing over the Torah. He was so fervent and so sure about things. And he had a spirit in his prayer and in his life that was joyful and confident at the same time. And it showed. And it was contagious. And as a result, the rabbis sensed that they had, that Simeon had had one of the most deep and abiding hopes in the consolation of Israel of anyone they knew. He could also converse with them about the scriptures in a way that few of us could. And Simeon was sure that the Messiah was going to come in his lifetime. In fact, he even told the rabbis that it had been revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Christ himself. And you know, now that I think about it, I would watch him, watching people back then, as they came and left the temple, and you could tell that his eyes were alert and longing for something, or better, someone. And it didn't surprise me that he was mostly looking at people who looked very much like him. Older, bearded, carrying a cane, wrinkled, a little ruddied face that reflected a wisdom that seemed to glow. There was, after all, a teaching among the Midrash that held that the Messiah would be a sort of grandfatherly-like figure who had an extraordinary wisdom and strength. And apparently that teaching meant a lot to Simeon. So you can imagine then his surprise and mine when that day arrived. And this young couple showed up among so many others who held babies still in diapers. And Simeon sensed that there was something very, very special about this couple and this baby among all the others there. I was sitting at the bottom of the temple steps that day, eating some bread and figs. And I watched Simeon and the others who were gathered around him, his wife, some friends, there at the other end of the steps that were wide and long. His wife, Hannah, of course, was leaning affectionately on his shoulder. And I watched Simeon, watched this couple. And he stood. And his whole body seemed to come alive in a way that I'd not seen before. He stood a little straighter. His cataract eyes widened, apparently seeing something very clearly for the first time. And there was something in his face that was fresh and bright and, well, hopeful. I stood too then and followed Simeon, who, with a little help from Hannah, followed this young couple up the steps and through the various courtyards. They paused outside my cousin Levi's booth. And the young man, the father of the baby, took some coins from his purse and purchased two birds. The girl, who looked to be about 14, was looking at the baby the whole time. And Simeon was watching them all intensely from a short distance away. The young family went with their baby and their birds and stood in line with the other couples who were there for the same reason. We watched as they got closer to the front of the line, and then finally they were there, and they handed the baby to the rabbi on duty for the day. He was visiting from a nearby temple. Simeon and I didn't recognize him. The rabbi prayed rotely, which caused a frown of disgust to register on Simeon's forehead. And then the rabbi held the baby over the fire for a moment, which was customary, and brought to mind, I'm sure, for us all, for just a moment, those terrifying times long before when people fell into the practice of child sacrifice. And then the rabbi handed the child back to the parents, actually to the father, who just before had handed the rabbi's assistants the cage with the two inexpensive birds in it, and they were sacrificed. The young family had turned away for that part. I did too, truth be told. And we watched them walk. When that brief ceremony was done, we watched them walk slowly through the crowd and back into the courtyard in the brightening sunlight. And I found myself so close to Simeon at that point that I could smell the wood smoke on his robe. The next thing I knew, he tapped the young man on his shoulder with his cane, and he and his young wife stopped and then turned and looked at Simeon and Hannah. The couple was looking at him with, well, a questioning wonder, but not fear. It was as if they all knew each other. And then Simeon passing his cane to Hannah, and then with a tilt of his head and a raising of his eyebrows and an extending of the hands, which was that universal sign to please hand me the baby, Simeon reached out to the woman. The mother looked at her husband, unsure about what to do at that moment, and he nodded in approval. And so she placed the baby in the old man's arms, who in turn shifted the baby to one arm and held him like a football, the baby's head in the palm of his right hand. The baby didn't cry at all. In fact, he cooed a bit. And then he reached up and touched the fringes of the old man's beard. I think I saw a smile on his face. And that was enough to make big tears form in the corner of Simeon's eyes and fall gently on the bands of cloth the child was wrapped in. And then Simeon began walking slowly back and forth and looked at the same time back and forth between heaven and the eyes of the parents. And occasionally he wiped a tear from his old eyes and he sang something of a prayer. And the child's mysterious significance. The parents seemed to be pleased as punch, and so he blessed them as well, maybe just for good measure. And just as he was about to give the baby back to the mother, something about her seemed to stop him. And he hesitated, holding the baby as his expression changed. He furrowed his brow and pursed his lips for just a moment. And then his face registered a vision. And what he saw in her face was no doubt a long way off, but it was there so plainly he couldn't pretend. And he said to her, "A sword will pierce through your soul too." I heard him say it plain as day. But can you imagine? I mean, what a thing to say to a new mother. I would rather have bitten off my tongue than said something so strange, so strong, so terrible. But maybe in that holy place, maybe Simeon felt he had no choice but to speak truth. Maybe. And then he handed the baby back to the mother, and I watched as he and Hannah walked by the young couple and started down the steps. Simeon took his time, and each step seemed harder to negotiate than the previous one. And when he reached the bottom one, he sat down again and slumped over. And his face looked a little tired and maybe a little sad. And I remember thinking, what is that about? Could it be that he was feeling something less than the perfect peace that he dreamed of feeling at that moment all those long years as he waited for the consolation of Israel? I don't know, could have been, could also have been. He was just ready to die at that point. He was, after all, pretty old. But you know how we read so much into body language these days. I didn't have the nerve to go up to him then and find out exactly what he was thinking or feeling. We weren't that close. Maybe, too, it was because I was too aware of what I was thinking and feeling. What was I feeling? What was I thinking? I was thinking and feeling like this was one of the holiest moments of my life. I was thinking, how so very cool that two people very much older than me at that time had the insight to recognize the presence of God in that moment. I was thinking, do you have to be that old to be able to do that? I was thinking, I want to be able to do that now. I want to be able to see God in the here and now and not hold out hope for Him to show up in the great somewhere out there. And if truth be told, I was also feeling like, oh, I wanted to hold the baby too. And I was wondering if that would have made a difference for me in that moment. Would I have felt or thought something different? I was thinking, I wish Simeon would have handed me the baby for just a second. Just a moment. I was so close to him. Well, that was a long time ago, and I'm much older now, and I'm glad to tell you that I followed that baby. Quite literally. Word spread like wildfire after Simeon and Hannah said what they did and did what they did that day in the temple. And I will confess to you that I played no small part in helping to spread the word. For Pete's sake, I was there. I saw everything. I heard every word. And if what Simeon said was true about the significance of this child, well, that was too good to be kept to myself. And so I spread the word about that day, and I kept my ears to the ground and my eyes wide open. And it turns out, that kid grew up. And he became strong and wise beyond his years. And I got to hear him preach one time on a mountain, and I'll tell you, that kid could preach. And as I listened that time, when he was on the mountainside preaching, I felt strangely warmed inside. And I was thinking in that moment, you know, Simeon was right way back then. Simeon knew this kid was destined for something great, like saving the world. And I have to tell you, that while I didn't get to hold the baby back then on that amazing day, I can hold him now. And so can you. The time is always right to say yes to the Christ and to hold that one who was born a baby but becomes the Messiah. Let us pray. Lord, we hold you differently and at different times. And we are so incredibly grateful for the testimony of Scripture and for the witness of Simeon, who knew something way back then that precious few people did. We are grateful that the word has spread and that we too have said yes to the Christ and get to hold him. But Lord, grant that as we hold you, we would hold you lightly and be able to share with others what we know to be true about you in this day and time. And we pray in your name. Amen.